Good morning, IBC. How are we today? Doing well? It's good to have you join us. Good to have our visitors with us today. If you'd like to come into the front from the back there, we'll just start our praise and worship, and we'll all stand together and sing our praises to the Lord this morning. Nothing's impossible with God. Amen? Amen. Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things, 'cause it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible through you. Blind eyes are open, strongholds are broken. I'm living by faith. Nothing is impossible. Not gonna live by what I see. I'm not gonna live by what I feel. Deep down I know that you're here with me. I know that you can do anything. Through you I can do anything. I can do all things, 'cause it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible through you. Blind eyes are open, strongholds are broken. I'm living by faith. Nothing is impossible. Not gonna live by what I see. Not gonna live by what I feel. Deep down I know that you're here with me. I know that you can do anything. Through you I can do anything. I can do all things, 'cause it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible through you. Blind eyes are open, strongholds are broken. I'm living by faith. Nothing is impossible. If you'd like to at this time, turn around and greet each other, and welcome to IBC this morning. I can do all things, 'cause
possible through you. Blind eyes are open, strongholds are broken. I'm living by faith. Nothing is impossible. I believe in you. I believe in you. Amen. You may be seated, church.
Good morning to you, church. How is everyone this morning? Good to see you. Glad that you're here. Happy that you're ready to worship with us this morning in our second week of our missions conference, our missions times that we focus on sending the gospel around the world. Our theme for this year, well, you can see it on the board posted in the front and on the back, let the news of Christ be known. The verses that we'd like to keep in your mind and in your heart for this whole month and beyond this month as well comes from Romans chapter number 10. And here in Romans chapter number 10, verse 14 and 15, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So this month, you're going to be meeting a lot of people with beautiful feet. Well, you know what I mean. Beautiful feet that they're taking the gospel to those who are around us in this community and indeed around the world to share the good news, the hope that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray this morning for the ministry that you're going to be meeting, the ones who are involved in that, not only today, but in the next coming weeks. Let's pray. Father, Lord, as we come to you, we thank you for the privilege, for the calling, for the Holy Spirit empowerment to get the gospel around the world. For Lord, we know, and indeed there are many people who have never known you. Some that have never heard the name of Jesus. Others who have rejected. Others who are waiting for someone to come and tell them. Lord, our prayer this morning is that as we hear from the message that you have sent to us, from the burden that you've placed upon our hearts, and as a church, Lord, may we indeed strengthen that burden to send the gospel. Have your way in our hearts this morning through the message, through all that's to be done. May we glorify you in all that's said, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you.
If you'd like to stand with us again as we continue our time of worship and sing to our King of Glory, Hosanna, this morning. Hosanna, Hosanna. Next song that we're about to sing to the King of Kings, it's about the gospel, and that's what we as a church, missionaries, are spreading, is the gospel. And in this song it says, now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free, for the love of Jesus Christ is the one that's rescued me. And that's the gospel. That's what we as a church were about. It's what missionaries are about. And that's spreading the gospel. So let's sing about this old gospel this morning, church. King of Kings.
Praise for
from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe for the souls of all who come to the Father, our resort. And the Church of Christ was born, and the Spirit laid the blame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By His blood and in His name, in His freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has
Christ, the risen King. Amen. Thank you. Who knows what the name of that last song is, by the way? Besides Bong, I don't want Bong to answer. Anybody? It's called Prayer for the Hui. That's the name of the song, the Prayer for the Hui. It was written by a church, and it's about a minority people group in Asia, in China, the Hui people, a Muslim minority group. But it's a beautiful song of let the news of Christ be known. That's what our theme is this year, whether it be the Hui or people here in Aotearoa. Let the news of Christ be known. Ushers, go ahead and begin to make your way forward. Glad to be here. Last week I was away to IBC Central, some of you may know. And they had a wonderful start to their missions week as well. They were so excited. We need to be praying for all of our missionary family. Pray for Ben and Marge, who are new additions. If you don't realize it, Ben and Marge from IBC here are new additions to our church missions family. And they are in the process of raising their awareness and support from churches all over the country so they can get to their mission field. Okay, they're going to what we call a can. Who knows what a can means? Raise your hand if you know what I mean when I say they're going to a can. What does it mean, Will? Do you? Creative Access Nation. Yeah. Can, not CAC. Creative Access Nation. And these are nations where Christianity is not welcomed. Okay, you can't just go in to do Christian missions work. And so they're going to a difficult area. Pray for them. Ben is speaking at IBC Central this morning. So right now, probably as I speak, he's beginning his message as well. Pray for Ben, pray for Marge, and pray for their support that they need to raise to be able to go. Pray for God's protection. This morning at 9 o'clock, we heard a report from another one of our missions family, and that was Aaron and Anna Hills, for local mission work, local church planting. We supported them for a few years now, and it was good to hear from them and some of the people that they've been reaching. They brought a whole team of a lot of younger people, but these are many of them ones that they have reached and brought to the Lord and are discipling them and training them as well. Pray for Aaron and Anna Hills. And we also have some other couple that's with us and don't want to bother with them right now. But you know them. I'll introduce them in just a few moments, but it's a pleasure to have Brother George and Carolyn with us. It's awesome. Thank you. Where was I? Oh, yes, our missionary family of the week. Let's pray for Daniel and Carol Dortch. I got to get used to saying that. They've been married well over a year now. She was Carol Smith for a while that we've supported her since 2014. They got married, over a year ago. They now have a young one, don't they? What's the young one's name? Do you know? Willow Jane. Willow Jane. So pray for them. Pray for Willow Jane and the work that they do with, Word of Life New Zealand. Okay, they're based in Hamilton, but they travel the country, and normally they travel places in the South Pacific as well, doing work in other countries. Continue to lift them up. By way of thanksgiving for last week's offering, I know it's here somewhere. Praise the Lord, God brought in from his people here a total of $11,754. That was a good week, praise God, of which general was for $9,790 and missions $1,914 and $50 for children's ministry. So we praise the Lord for every bit. Every bit. And thank the Lord for that. Our goal this year for missions. Did Brother Bong share that last week? What's the goal for missions this year, our target? Oh, Bong, you didn't share it, did you? Or they didn't hear. They didn't listen. It's the people. It's the people. 93,200 and some odd. 93,250. So let's pray for that. And pray this month what God would have you to do to be a part of that, to make that a reality this year. 93,250 to meet our mission goals this year, including, as I said, Ben and Marge, who we've recently taken on. A couple months ago, I believe, we took them on for support. And IBC, since we are sending them, you know, we are also supporting them heavily as well. Okay, more than regular. Okay, we need to really get behind them, our own. So let's continue to pray. And let's thank the Lord for this offering this past week that he has provided for his church. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for our missionary family, for Aaron and Anna Hills, for Carol and Daniel Dorch and their faithfulness to the calling. For our guests, George and Carolyn, who are here. Lord, you've given us so many who have answered your call in, on their lives and the missions work that you gave them to do. So, Lord, we lift all these up to you. We thank you for the offering that came in this past week to meet the needs not only of this church, but of our missions commitments and pledges. Thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of your people, and may you bless and provide for each of us, Lord, each of your people. May they be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
love into the darkness. We have a fire burning inside, nothing can stop us.
And thank you, Matt. Thank you, kids. Excellent job. Today's speaker, as you may know, is Brother George Booth, and he's prepared. He's got his own setup here, I believe. Is that right, brother?
Yes.
Anyway, it's been our pleasure to support George and Carolyn. I believe we first began supporting the work since 2012.
2012, yes.
And if you don't know, Brother George has had long connection with OM Ships. He was actually captaining one of the ships for a while, and then he changed roles in training and preparing crews to go out on trips around the world. Anyway, it's a different ministry, but it was a really exciting ministry, and it's been a pleasure to support him over these years. And Carolyn here, who's often had to stay home, today she was confessing to me she really appreciated lockdown. It kept her husband home for a while. And so anyway, what a pleasure. Let's welcome Brother George Booth, and
thank
I'll
you.
Turn things over to you at this time.
Thank you. I wonder, could we remove this?
Oh, sure.
You brought it back, but can you take it away, please?
Yeah. There we go. Thanks, Matt. Good exercise.
I'm so glad it's removable, actually, so I can put this up. But before I do that, I really just want to thank everybody for supporting us, my ministry side of expenses. Ever since 2012, it's been a huge boost. It's enabled me to fly back and forth to the ship all around the world, wherever it's been, ever since then. And my last trip to the ship was supposed to be in June, but because of COVID-19, at least it did Carolyn a great favor, and my last trip turned out to be February. And so I actually don't need that support anymore, although I still very much appreciate it. And thank you. I can't thank you enough for that. You might have noticed the jacket that I'm wearing. It sort of does stand out a little bit. A friend of mine said every time he sees me wear it, it looks like the world's getting rounder. And the ozone layer in the North Pole is in deep trouble. But actually, this jacket is an amazing jacket for people living in the North Island of New Zealand. Because it has all the land on Earth except for Antarctica and the North Island. It's got the South Island here, and it sort of gets cut off by the hem, and we are not on it. And I think that's a marvelous message in itself. Because although we are here, our hearts and our focus should be there. And I've got a board here that I'm going to bring up. There you are. Okay, if you all, you can all see it. Great, I'm glad that we could have taken that away. I thought, oh my goodness, where am I going to go? And so there it is. I actually use this sketchboard. I've used it in the open air. And I've been doing this for many, many years. But today, for the very first time, I'm going to try a new thing. Because normally I prepare this with paint, and then I finish it here with paint. And I know that people get very nervous, especially those people who've just laid the carpet and things like that. And in the many hundreds, maybe thousands of times that I have used this in the open air and in churches, it has only ever, I've only seen the paint spilt once. And that was when the pastor walked past it and knocked it over. So, not me. I would like you, please, to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. And we have this remarkable series of stories in the Bible which are seemingly unconnected. And so often we read these stories or we preach on these stories in an unconnected way. We talk about Jesus telling the parables in the crowd. And then we talk about Jesus calming the storm. And we talk about the man called Legion. And we don't seem to connect the fact that these three followed one after the other, and they are very much interconnected. And so I've got notes here. I normally don't need notes for this one because I like preaching this one, and I've preached it a few times. But I know that this is being translated, and I don't want to go too far off script. Okay, so I'm going to use this instead of paint. I finally decided it's better than a Vivid. Actually, it's not a Vivid. It's better than a Vivid. Well, I'll let you find that out in a minute. But in Mark chapter 4, from verse 35, we read this. That day when evening came, he, Jesus, said to his disciples, "Let us go over Let's go over to the other side. This is the one time I want you to look at things in a negative way. Don't look at what I'm writing, look at what I haven't written. Okay? So let us go over to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. And you know, then and even today, we often measure success in terms of crowds. We measure success by how many people are with our group, how many people we have attracted to what we're doing. And we have so much of this, but Jesus so often went away. He avoided the crowd. And so much of his ministry we see is not to the crowd, but to an individual, a person desperate. The woman who touched him in her desperation, the people who came to him and said, "My daughter is dying, my son is dying, or my son has got this evil spirit." And And so too, we are not expected to adulate crowds, to want crowds in what we do. Christians are not called to be a part of this world. Here I am, I'm in the world, but not of it. You know, disciples do not belong in a crowd. Jesus was not a crowd seeker. He was seeking lost sheep one by one. And we too are called to be followers and not fans. And here he had this big crowd. You know, these people listening to him. And I'm sure the disciples said, wow, this is really working. And he says to him, come. He says to the disciples, he says, come. I don't want the whole crowd to come. I want this group of people to come to the other side. And some of them might have said, wow, I wonder if there is a bigger crowd on the other side. And maybe this crowd isn't big enough. And Jesus is saying, let's go over to the other side because there's a bigger crowd there. Right? And what was on the other side? You know, he left a crowd actually for one individual. One individual. Jesus left the hosts of heaven to come to a sinful world with no guarantee of anyone wanting to follow him. And Jesus came to the other side because he had a great... I'm just going to press this. There you are. A great concern for them. And we're called as Christians also to have a concern for the other side, a concern for the rest of the world, a concern that would lead us not to just have some sort of sympathy, but empathy, to really say, I'm going to pray, I'm going to give, I'm going to go. That is part of my concern. And of course, Jesus' concern didn't take him just to feeling quite sorry for them. But he actually went to the cross. He went to the cross for the people on the other side. That was the extent of his concern for the other side. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, they went across to the lake to the region of the Gerasenes or Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. Who was drawing Jesus away from the crowds? How important was he? Jesus does not only love all of us, he actually loves each of us. Each of us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And his concern was not some sort of hand-wringing sympathy. He was concerned enough to go to the cross for our sakes. Now we're going to look at this man's his condition. Who was this guy that Jesus was crossing the lake to see? Was he an extra special disciple? Was he someone who Jesus had really great fellowship with? Someone who was looking forward to having Jesus come along? No, of course. We read in verse 3 of chapter 5. This man lived in amongst the tombs. Here he is. and no one could bind him anymore. Not even with a chain. Of course, he was mad. That's why he's got long hair like that, you know. And he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." He thought that Jesus was coming to torture him. For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." You know, there's four things that this man was that are so typical of a world on the other side, of a world that doesn't gather in a crowd to listen to Jesus, of a world that somehow fears him and fears those who are with him. First of all, he lived among the dead. He lived among the dead. And why did he do that? Well, he wasn't allowed among the living. He wasn't allowed to be there. The cities didn't want him. The town kicked him out. He lived among the tombs. In Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 1 and 2, it says, "And as for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." You know, if you're not alive and in Christ, you are dead. You know, you might be walking and talking, but you're a zombie. Yeah, you're a zombie. And so this man was actually, to all intents and purposes, dead. He was also delinquent. He could not be tamed. He broke the chains whenever they tried to chain him. Why did they chain him? To protect him from others? To protect him from himself? To hold him down? To stop him breaking all the social mores? And you know, there are people around who we've got to keep away. We've got to constrain them somehow because they're wrong, wrong, wrong. And when we turn from Jesus, we live in a wrong way. And the people who haven't heard of him are wrong. They are delinquent. He's also destructive. He is self-destructive. It says that he was cutting himself with stones. Don't we see that in the world? So many people living a lifestyle that is ultimately going to be their death. It's going to kill them. What they're doing, not just what they're eating and drinking and the sort of drugs and things, but their thoughts and their actions are leading to an eternity in hell. Eternal death. Far worse even than cutting themselves with stones. They're destructive. And when they're destructive like that, they're not only destroying their own life, they're destroying their societies. They're destroying their families. They're destroying those around them. And perhaps worst of all, worse than being dead and delinquent and destructive, he was deluded. He thought that Jesus had come to destroy him, to torture him, to judge him. We know that Jesus said in his ministry on earth, he said that he had not come into the world to judge it, but to save. He didn't come to judge us, but to save us. we're already guilty before God. And we could not do anything. We could not even serve our own sentence. And there's this man, he's having a hard time. From verse 9, then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. I'll only draw two. We can't deal with a large herd. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission. The impure spirits went out into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. You know, all mankind is in the same position as this man. Jesus came to save us. He came to give his life in order to change ours. Verse 14, those tending the pigs ran off and reported this to the town. Can you imagine? They would have been really excited. "Oh, wow, this guy's saved. Oh, we lost a few pigs, but he's different." You think? Huh? They reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw that the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons, sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. All always upsets us left-handers. You can be in your left mind too, you know. And they were afraid. Afraid. You know, when Jesus does great things in your life, your relatives, your friends, some of them are going to be afraid. When Jesus does great things in societies, people get afraid. They get afraid of a book, the greatest book of love, and they want to burn it, and they want to destroy the people who that book has changed. Does that mean that we stop loving? That we stop going? Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. Isn't that sad? It affected their economy. Whoops, can't have that happening. Yeah, a life changed, a man saved. Brilliantly, marvelously, wonderfully. But if it affects the cash, the bottom line, don't want it. And we've got to look and see which line are we wanting to affect. First of all, our bottom line, our eternity, our direction in life. And secondly, we're not here to be selfish and to say, "Well, I'm all right, Jack. I'm okay. I'm in the lifeboat. I know the way." It is upon us to have the same concern that Jesus had to cause him to cross the lake. He wants that for us as well. This is a huge impact on the society around us. He and his disciples are not always welcomed. Society doesn't welcome change. Exploiters will lose their income. And they don't like uncomfortable truths. Finally, the last section, which means going back actually to the trip across the lake, which I'd left out. Because "let us go over this to the other side" has practical implications. Jesus calls his disciples to be ready to follow him. We were singing about it. Ready to follow him everywhere and anywhere. At any time, as he reaches out to the lost in this world, In this case, he called them to cross the Sea of Galilee. We read about it in verse 37 of chapter 4. He says, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Carolyn will tell you a few stories. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. And the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And so we have the crowd, we have the concern of Jesus, the condition of this world, and we have the calling of Jesus. You know? He says, come, let's go over to the other side. I'm going to make it really easy. You know, following Jesus is just wonderful. The rest of your day is just, it's just going to be so easy. You know, everything's going to fall into place. You're always going to have enough stuff. And it's just so exciting all the time. Well, let me say that it is exciting a lot of the time. But there are times, especially as Carolyn and I have been in a ship ministry since 1979, 19th of January, 1979, that's when we started. And off we went in our late 20s, off to go and do some great stuff. And there were times when we wanted to come home. There were storms, not only physical storms, but storms, political storms, personal storms, relationship storms. And these guys sitting in the boat saying, oh, well, let's follow Jesus. There might be a bigger crowd over there. Everything's going to be wonderful. There they are in the boat. Of course, things are pretty rough. You know, in every storm, there's going to be a little bit of seasickness. I don't know. Has anyone been seasick before? Yeah. You know, when you first get seasick, you worry that you're going to die. And after a while, you worry that you're not going to die. Yeah. I'll give you a little hint, a little tip. Whenever you're seasick, the best food to eat, bananas. Yeah. Because they taste the same coming up as they did when they went down. Everyone's thinking about bananas right now, right? There is no guarantee that it will be easy. We don't learn easy lessons well. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Have you ever seen those books, The Promises of God? Sort of takes out all the bad stuff and just gives all the wonderful promises of God. I had an amazing discussion on a bus going from Heathrow to Gatwick once, just about that particular verse. David Livingstone, you might have known heard of him, once received a letter from a society in South Africa asking, have you found a good road to where you are? If the answer is yes, we want to send other men to come and help you. Livingstone replied, if you have men who will come only if they know there's a good road, I don't want them. Jesus doesn't want you to come only if you demand good weather and good sailing and good roads. Because he wants you to have faith, to come with him to this other side that is desperate to hear the word, desperate to experience the love of God. And it's an amazing thing. Jesus could so easily have gone across. We know he can walk on water. We know he could just go over here and do it by himself. It was a sort of a one-to-one ministry. But he asks us to come with him to do his work in this world. He wants us to meet in crowds like this to worship, to refresh, to prepare, to learn and grow. But this is not what a Christian is. A Christian is a person outside of the doors of fellowship. When it's tough. And we come back here and we find that support and growth so that, not that we can stay here and just be here all the time because it's safe here, but it's the main purpose for us coming to church is to strengthen us for crossing the lake to the other side. He will be with us. He will know what is ahead and will conquer all before him. It is a joy, said Blaise Pascal, to be in a ship on a storm-lashed sea when one is sure that the ship will not sink. And our ship in Christ is the one sure thing. You know, we come to this last part of the whole passage that says, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. Don't forget to tell people with your lips and your life how much Jesus has done for you. My surname is Booth, right? Do you know of a famous Booth? Not John Wilkes Booth, the guy who murdered Abraham Lincoln. Who's the other famous Booth that you know? William Booth, General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. People often ask me, am I related? And I'm not. I tell people he was General William Booth, Salvation Army. I was Captain Booth, Captain George Booth, Salvation Navy. Right? But General William Booth was an amazing man. And on his deathbed, by the time he died, there were branches of the Salvation Army around the world. And he wanted to send them an email to encourage them just before he died. But of course, they didn't have emails in those days. So he sent them a telegram. Anyone remember telegrams? Yeah. Remember how expensive they were? Oh. And you paid by the word, per word. And General William Booth wasn't going to waste a whole lot of money on a sermon. Have you ever heard of a three-letter sermon or a three-word sermon or something like that? He had a one-word sermon. One word. Can you imagine it? It wasn't a Welsh word, you know. It was one word. And that's what I want to leave you with today. Because this is who we are and what we're about. That one word. That one word that deals with crowds, deals with calling and chant and concern and condition. One word. What word do you think it is? Well, what is the answer if you're in primary school? Jesus, right? No. Or love. No. That one word was others. We exist as a church on earth for others. Worship in heaven will be better. Fellowship in heaven will be better. We won't have others in heaven. It'll all be us. But on earth, we have others. And God is calling us to go to the side that belongs to the others. Let's pray. Father, help us to not be afraid as you call us as individuals, each of us, in our own calling to cross our own stormy lake, but to go forth into this world, joining you as you reach out to the lost who are dead, delinquent, destructive, and delusional. Help us, Lord, to step out knowing that we have a future with you, an eternity with you. And our responsibility right now is others. And our time together is to strengthen ourselves, to worship together, to fellowship, but ultimately to prepare for others, the others that you will bring across our paths to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you, Brother George, for sharing that. That was awesome.
Thank you.
That was a real challenge to me, and I believe it was to many others as well. It's been a pleasure to support the Boos and their love for the Lord and their God's calling on their life. And he's now asked us to use the support that we've been giving to other missions projects. So we just want to do something to say a special thanks to them for their faithfulness and allowing us to partner with them as well. And we'd like to give them a little something. Brother, oh, there's Brother.
Wow.
But Miss Carolyn, come on up if you would. Stand by your man. Yes, we have a lovely, nice bouquet.
Wow.
For Carolyn.
You
better
give
George.
It to her, yeah.
And thank you, Bong. And we made up something special as a commemoration of this to give to them. It's a nice Rimu plaque.
Wow.
Says, and has our butterfly with a bit of powwow in it. It's really beautiful. Says, George and Carolyn Booth, 2020, in grateful acknowledgement of their faithfulness to the call of biblical missions and for allowing IBC to partner in supporting and support since 2012. Love the IBC family and Matthew 28:19-20. So Brother George,
wow. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Miss Carolyn, God bless you.
I've said it already. I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much. Really.
Oh, and a thank
Great.
You card.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Let's pray for this family. Before we do our announcements, let's pray for this couple. And stand with me. I hate to have you just seated while I pray. So let's lift them up to the Lord in prayer as God would lead their next steps. And I don't think they're ready to sit back on rocking chairs on the porch yet. But
no.
they're going to be faithful in their ministries that God's given to them. So let us ask the Lord's guidance. Thank you, Father, for George, for Carolyn, for all that they've given in their faithfulness to the calling that you've put on their life and their heart. Lord, I thank you for his challenge in the word, the reminder to us that it is about others. Heaven waits for us and everything's going to be better there, but Lord, you've left us here because of others. I pray that we, your people, would heed these words. That, Lord, we would look for others. That we would go to them, go to the other side and share Christ. Be with this couple, Lord, and I pray that you would guide their steps. May they be continue to be faithful in the ministries and the doors that you open in their life. May they continue to serve you to the very end, Lord, in whatever ways that you bring across their path. And again, we thank you for allowing IBC to have a part, a small part in this over the years. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And we say,
amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you
God so bless much. You guys. It's been our pleasure.
Thank you.
Pastor, please be seated. Pastor Mike has a few announcements, and we'll be dismissed.
Just a few quick things before we're dismissed. If you have your bulletins on the inside pages, you'll see our mission schedule for the next 3 weeks. Next week, Brother Casey Wong will be with us. Casey, our missionary also that we've sent out of this church. Continue to pray for Carol and Daniel Dortch. Carol Smith, Daniel Dortch, married now, and the little baby Willow Jane. Cute name as well. Continue to pray for them. And our missionaries, we've posted all the letters in the back. Also, an announcement that's not on here, but something that we'd like to just bring to your attention. If you're interested, ladies, in working in the creche, we'd like to have some more creche workers taking care of the children during the worship service time. So if that's something the Lord has put on your heart, see Pastor Ken's wife, Jennifer, and she'll give you all the details to that. So that's all of the announcements. But maybe you're celebrating a birthday or an anniversary. We'd like to celebrate with you. Anyone with a birthday this week coming up? Anyone with a birthday? No one? Wedding anniversaries? Do we have anyone with wedding anniversaries this week? No wedding anniversaries as well. Okay. Well, Pastor Ken, would you like to come and dismiss us in a time of prayer?
We sure. Every once in a while, I hear somebody say, I was too shy to go. So, if not, we'll be dismissed in prayer. Don't forget, next week, Brother Casey Wong. And then after that, Brother Ben from our church will be sharing with us as well. So look forward to the next couple of weeks. And again, say, God, in regards to faith promise missions, our commitment, our pledge, and our to meet our goal of $93,000 this year, what would God have you do in that regard? Okay, what kind of weekly commitment would God have you make? And we encourage everybody to do something. Even if it's small, we're not saying, give $100 or $200 a week or anything. We're just encouraging you to have a part. But pray about it. God, what would you have me to do? Let's stand and be dismissed. Father, Lord, thank you again for hearing these words from our brother George. And I pray, Lord, that you would be his greatest blessing. And Lord, as he reminded us, you've not promised us smooth seas, no storms, no troubles. But Lord, may we be faithful no matter what. Lord, may we also be faithful in this calling, this great commission that you've given to each of us. This is not just for a few. You've given it to all your people. You've given it to the church. So Lord, may your people take this on board as we go to work tomorrow, as we go to school, various places. May we look for people on the other side. Lord, may we be willing to open our mouths. Yes, our lives should show our faith, Lord, but there's times that we must open our mouths and speak of why? Speak of Jesus. So, Lord, give us courage and give us boldness. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we say amen. God bless you. Enjoy some fellowship. Be sure to say hey to Brother George and Miss Carolyn, and you're dismissed.